This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, July 20th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. Going to start off not with baseball, but two non-baseball stories. First, at the British Open, Brent Snedeker today shot 64, 6 under par 64 to be 10 under for two rounds. He's already in the clubhouse, and he has a pretty good lead. The only guy within five strokes of him is Adam Scott, who is 8 under, still on the course at the 13th hole. Tiger Woods in third place, 5 under. He's only on the 8th hole, so they have a lot of time to score better. But Snedeker has been unbelievable with rounds of 66 and 64. Adam Scott was, of course, the leader after the first round, and he's only two shots off. But he is the only guy within four strokes, Tiger Woods five strokes behind. But again, Scott and Tiger Woods and a lot of the field still on the course at the British Open. Somebody who's not on the course and will not be this weekend is Phil Mickelson, who wound up shooting a 78 today, had a lot of problems, of course. It'll be a miracle if he made the cut. So Phil Mickelson misses the cut in a major for only the third time since 2000. So obviously he played virtually all the majors, not all of them, but only three cuts has he missed in majors in 12 years. So obviously a disappointment for him. He will not make the cut for tomorrow, of course, today, the second round being played in the British Open. The other story, the Houston Rockets yesterday introduced Jeremy Lin. And again, I think this is not just a New York story. This has become a national story. Obviously, with Yao Ming playing all those years for Houston, the Rockets not only have an Asian following in Texas, but obviously an Asian following in Asia, in China. So Lin was introduced, and there's still reverberations back in New York. There's actually an interesting article online where Chris Rock, the comedian, and diehard Knicks fan, by the way, just came out and said what many are thinking, and that is that one of the reasons Lin is not a Knick is there is a bias against Asian Americans in the NBA. In fact, Chris Rock went so far as to say that if Jeremy Lin was a 23-year-old black guy who had a tattoo and acted like a thug and dropped 38 on the Lakers, which is what Jeremy Lin did last year, that nobody would question Jeremy Lin's contract. It really is an interesting perspective. And Kenny Anderson was also interviewed on WFAN. Kenny Anderson, the former NBA guard who's a kid from New York, not a kid anymore, but played his high school ball at Molloy High School for legendary coach Jack Curran in New York City. Kenny Anderson said that he would absolutely try harder, which is an interesting comment also, if he was playing somebody like a Jeremy Lin, the point being if he was playing a non-black point guard. So there's a lot of under the radar, if you will, reverberations coming out of this, including elements of racism in terms of whether Jeremy Lin is not as good as people believe him to be. I certainly think he's a good to very good NBA point guard already. A lot of people have knocked him down, and the question becomes, had he been, I think it's a fascinating question Chris Rock poses, had he been a black guy who did exactly what he did last year, would anybody question any kind of contract? Now, there are other things involved as well. He's a Harvard grad. He was in the D League. He was cut by two other teams. So this is not a guy who was drafted first or second or third in the draft and was a sure shot to make it, and then he didn't make it, and then he revitalized his career. This guy was a guy who was always just clinging to the edges of the NBA. But clearly, if you watched him play last year, and I'll say what I said the other day, he was the MVP of the NBA in February. I understand it was only for a month, But if you look at what the Knicks were before he started and what the Knicks were once he started, he totally changed that team. He changed the culture of the team. He changed their ability to win, and that's what an MVP does. Look at him before. Look at the Knicks before he was there. He was there, but look at him before he was playing, and then look at the Knicks when he did play. He turned them into a playoff team, and that's what an MVP does. He turns teams around. That's what Jeremy Lin did. Now, he did say he... his first preference was to be with the Knicks. He's happy to be a Rocket. The Rockets, of course, you'll recall, I think took a full-page ad out in the Houston paper saying they had made a mistake after Jeremy Lin became a star, and that's what he was, at least for a month. He was a star. And now the Rockets have a chance to get him back, and they backloaded that third year of the contract, and a lot of people think that's why the Knicks backed off, because it would have tremendous luxury tax ramifications for the Knicks. Why that should bother James Dolan and all his millions is beyond me, but the Knicks will now show up with Raymond Felton and a very aging Jason Kidd behind him. I think they're going to be weak at the point guard. I think they really hurt themselves. I don't know that race had anything to do with it or not. Plus, Jeremy Lin's only 23. Plus, he still has a big upside. He's only played like 25 games in the NBA, so he could be a 10-year starter in the NBA. Other people think he's not even a starter. Other people think he's a backup. I'll say it again. If you watch this kid play and see how he sees the floor and how he sees the court and the passes he makes, you can't teach that. And most point guards in the NBA do not have that. And I'll give you one... perfect example, Russell Westbrook, one of the most talented players in the NBA. He can't see the floor like Jeremy Lin sees the floor, and he's a great point guard already. Although I think he's a two guard, played two guard in college, really is a shoot first point guard, if you will. But if Russell Westbrook ever sees the floor like Jeremy Lin sees the floor, he'll be one of the greatest point guards in the history of the NBA. So understand what's happened. This guy's going to get his money, and he probably deserves it. Should you have a $25 million contract after 25 games? Probably not. But look what Matt Flynn did in the NFL. He had two good games, two great games, and he now has a long-term deal out in Seattle. That's just the world we live in now. But I think Jeremy Lin, again, is a good to very good NBA point guard. He has a chance to be an all-star. What he has to learn is different than what people think. He doesn't have to learn how to go left. He already knows how to go left. That's another myth. He has to learn to defend better, like every point guard in the NBA defends better. Does Tony Parker defend? Does Chris Paul defend? I mean, most of these guys don't defend. They're too quick for each other. Does John Wall defend? But what Jeremy Lin has to learn to do is take pull-up jump shots and not go to the basket. He thinks he has to prove himself by going all the way to the basket. That's probably how he got hurt. Got worn down last year. So he's going to have to change his game a little. I agree with that. But it's not about going left or defending. You can work on your left. You can work on your defense. But he has to work on staying on the floor for a full season. I saw an interview with him where he said it was the first time in 7 years he missed games because of injury. But those prior 6 years were, 30-game college schedules or maybe 40-game D-League schedules or 50-game D. This was not the NBA. And don't forget, everybody, not just Jeremy Lin, was on that condensed schedule last year, and he didn't even play the first 20 games of the year. So he has to work on staying healthy, and that's a hard thing to do when you're a little guy in the NBA and people are looking to bang you around. The other interesting thing I thought about Jeremy Lin and the Knicks was they signed Jason Kidd, and if you remember last year, the first time Jeremy Lin became Jeremy Lin, he torched the Mavericks. He embarrassed the Mavericks. And the second time they played, Jason Kidd, I thought, went out of his way to punish Jeremy Lin, if not hurt him. He really was aggressive with him. He really was knocking him around. He really was looking for his shot in a year when Jason Kidd never looked for his shot. If you can see a tape of that second Dallas Knick game, you'll see exactly what I mean. But Jeremy Lin introduced in Houston. The Knicks go forward with Raymond Felton and Jason Kidd at the point. The other interesting thing is a lot of people said Jeremy Lin was a system guard, that because he played Mike D'Antoni's system, that's how he was able to become a good NBA guard. And there's certainly some truth that that system favors him, as it did Steve Nash. And I'm not comparing Lin to Nash, but Nash was a two-time MVP under Mike D'Antoni. So, yes, the system helps, but don't forget Raymond Felton played in that system too, and he was not an overly good NBA point guard before he played for D'Antoni, and he was not an overly good NBA point guard after he played for D'Antoni. So if you're going to criticize Lin for succeeding in the system, you have to understand Felton did the same thing, and to a lesser degree than Jeremy Lin did. So keep that in the back of your mind. I think the Knicks made a huge mistake. I think it's a big fine for the Rockets. The Rockets don't have a good team at all. They're not going anywhere. But with Jeremy Lin and Kevin Martin in the backcourt, Kevin Martin, a very good shooting guard, they have a very good NBA backcourt already. So that's the latest from the British Open. That's the latest from the NBA. A lot of baseball games to get to. We'll start now in the American League. Tampa Bay shutting out the Indians, 6-0, splitting the four-game series. Price gets the win. He was unbelievable, 13-4. David Price, if you watched, I just saw the highlights of the game, but when this guy is on his game and throws 97 at the knees on the black, I mean, it was just a stunning performance by David Price. 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. Price now 13-4 with a 2.64 ERA. And, of course, you already have to mention him in the Cy Young conversation. I know it's only July, but Price is a dominant pitcher when he's on, and he certainly was on yesterday. Luke Scott, who had that terrible 0-for-41 slump, has been good since then. 2-for-4 last night, including his 12th home run of the year. Jeff Kepinger also with 2 hits for Tampa Bay. He's now batting .316 for the year. Molina, the catcher, 2-for-3 yesterday as well. Scott has brought his average back up to .225. He was down, I'm sure you know, in the 190s when he was in that terrible slump. The Tampa Bay bullpen didn't allow a hit as well, only as Drubal Cabrera and Lopez, the third baseman, got hits for the Indians last night. Jimenez takes the loss. He's 8-9. Rays 6. Indians nothing. Rays now 47-45. 2 games over, you know, clinging to competitiveness in their division. The Rays 48-45. 3 games over. Of course, the Yankees are runaway leaders. We'll get to the standings later. The Yankees are runaway leaders in the East. The Rays right now hoping to get back Evan Longoria soon. We'll be fighting for one of the two, under the new system, 2 wild card spots. Angels in Detroit to play the Tigers. Tigers 5, Angels 1. Max Scherzer gets the win. He's 9-5. Williams takes the loss. He's 6-7. Trout hits his 14th home run. What can you say about this guy? I mean, he's the rookie of the year. The only question is he going to be the MVP? Hits a home run yesterday, his 14th. He's batting leadoff. He plays a great outfield. He's hitting .352. You can really make a case for him. But the Tigers get the win yesterday, 5-1. Cabrera hits his 21st. I still think Miguel Cabrera is the best hitter in baseball. Hits his 21st homer of the year. Avila hits his 6th home run of the year. Tigers 5, Angels 1. Tigers, after that terrible start, and they were under 500 for most of the first half, are now on a bit of a roll. They're 49-44. The Angels, who were also terrible early on, dropped to 50-43. Orioles at Minnesota to play the Twins. Orioles trying to stay relevant and are relevant. They're in second place in the tough AL East, and they're also in the wild card hunt. They beat the Twins. Orioles 4, Twins 3. Chen gets the win. He's 8-5. Burnett takes the loss for the Twins. He's 3-3. Johnson gets his 28th save of the year. Davis hits home run number 15 for Baltimore. Baltimore 4, Twins 3. The Mariners beat up on the Royals, get 3 in the second, coast to a 6-1 win. Montero, Jesus Montero, formerly a Yankee catching, I won't say sensation, but they certainly had high hopes for him. He obviously is in Seattle now. He hits his 9th homer of the year. Felix Hernandez, unbelievable, gives up 1 run in 8 innings. His record is now 8-5. He's 4-0 in his last 6 starts with a 1.36 ERA. The King gets the win. He's 8-5. Smith takes the loss. He's 1-3. Neither team going anywhere. Mariners 40-54. Royals 39-52. And, of course, the question now becomes, will the Mariners put the King, Felix Hernandez, on the trading block? You know, it's a tough decision. He's still young. He's a great pitcher, not a good pitcher. Will he be able to, will the Mariners be able to get enough back for him? And frankly, is he going to be comfortable playing his whole career in Seattle? Seattle still has control of him. And certainly he's the backbone of any pitching staff he walks onto now. He's a number one, legit. But we'll have to see what the Mariners do. The trade deadline, of course, July 31st, 11 days from now. Another big performance by the King. The Mariners get a win, but again, they're only 40-54. They're not going anywhere. We'll get to the rest of the baseball after these brief messages. This is the Steve Kallas Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
High quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallas Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallas Show. We're going to get to the rest of the baseball in a minute. Just first, a few miscellaneous notes from across the sports world. Chris Carpenter of the Cardinals has to have rib surgery. Another blow to St. Louis's chances. They hope to get him back, but he's out now with a rib surgery, which took place yesterday and was successful. In football, Andrew Luck, the day after RG3 signed with Washington, Andrew Luck has signed with the Colts, 4 years, $22.1 million, all of it guaranteed. As you know, these contracts are kind of locked into a certain pay scale now. So Luck as the number one pick gets $1 million more than RG3 as the number two pick. 4 years, $22.1 million, all guaranteed. Andrew Luck in the fold in Indianapolis. In tennis, Rafael Nadal announced that he would not be able to play in the Olympics. He had to pull out because of knee pain. And you know he has to be hurting because he said winning the gold medal in 2008 for his native country, Spain, was one of the thrills of his life, but he will not be able to defend that gold medal nor help Spain in the Olympics in tennis due to knee pain, Rafael Nadal, out of the Olympics. A few other things to get to now in baseball. Other games in the American League, the Red Sox beat the White Sox 3-1. Cody Ross hits a three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth. White Sox obviously ahead 1-0 the whole way before falling in the ninth. I saw a stat that said it was like only the fourth or fifth time in 50 years that the Red Sox had won on a walk-off homer with all the runs scoring. I'm not sure that that's a meaningful stat, but the meaningful part of the stat is the Red Sox do win the game. Red Sox 3, White Sox 1. Red Sox trying to stay relevant in the AL East. They're certainly in the wild card hunt at 48-45. The White Sox, a major factor now in the AL Central, they drop to 50-42. Aceves, their closer, gets the win in relief. He's 1-6. Thornton takes the loss. He's 2-6. Ross's home run, the only home run of the game, was his 16th of the year. Out on the West Coast, the hot Oakland A's beat the Yankees 4-3. They jumped out to a 4-0 lead off of Freddy Garcia, and they held on to win 4-3. Athletics now 48-44, four games over 500. The Yankees still running away in the AL East. They're 57-35. Griffin gets the win. He's 2-0. Garcia takes the loss. He's 4-3. Cook gets his 10th save. Cespedes hit a long home run for Oakland, his 12th of the year. And Nick Swisher hit a long home run in the ninth, but it just cut the lead to 4-3. Swisher's 14th of the year. Again, the Athletics 4, the Yankees 3. Those are all your American League scores. In the National League now, number of interesting games. The Braves beat the Giants 3-2. Hudson gets his 8th win of the year. He's 8-4. Bumgardner, the fine young pitcher for the Giants, takes the loss. He's 11-6. Craig Kimbrell's been unbelievable this year, an all-star. He gets his 28th save of the year. Freddie Freeman hits a home run, his 13th, and Ross hits his 5th for Atlanta. The Giants now 51-41, and this is with Tim Lincecum and Barry Zito both being terrible this year. It's amazing that they're 10 games over 500. The Braves, 9 games over 500 after the win. They're now 50-41, and we'll take a look at the standings in a couple of minutes. The Mets beat the Nationals 9-5. R.A. Dickey gets the win, now 13-1. Gio Gonzalez, having an excellent season as well, takes the loss. He's 12-5. David Wright hits 2 home runs, his 13th and 14th of the year. Davis hits his 14th for the Mets as well. Zimmerman hits his 11th for Washington. Washington in first place in the NL East, 53-37. The Mets trying to hold on to battle for a wild card. They move to 47-45. Now, Dickey has not been good. Yes, he's 13-1, and he deserved to start the All-Star game. And for some reason, maybe he's an anti-knuckleball guy, Tony La Russa didn't start him. Also, you may have heard, I think we talked about it, R.A. Dickey badmouthed La Russa in his recently released book, so maybe La Russa was petty and held that against him. But Dickey has not been good. He pitched well yesterday. But prior to that, he had given up like 5 earned runs in 3 of his prior 5 starts, and every time the Mets came back and got him, not to get the win, but so he wouldn't get a decision. But Dickey is 13-1. You have to give him a lot of credit. His ERA is still 2.72. You'll recall it was much lower, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But he gets the win yesterday. The Mets trying to stay relevant. They opened up a 9-1 lead after 4 and coasted home. Mets 9, Nationals 5. A few other games in the National League. Diamondbacks, Reds beat the Diamondbacks in Cincinnati. Cincinnati 7, Arizona 6. Simon gets the win. He's 2-1. Shaw takes the loss. He's 1-4. Chapman with his 15th save of the year. Phillips hits his 11th home run for Cincinnati. He led the comeback. The Diamondbacks were winning 6-0 after 6, but Cincinnati scores 3 in the 6th, 4 in the 7th to get the 7-6 win. Again, Brandon Phillips with his 11th homer. Hill and Blanco, homer for Arizona. Hill's 13th. Blanco his 1st of the year. The Diamondbacks 44-48, struggling. The Reds 52-40, and doing it now without Joey Votto. We'll have to see if they can continue to do that, because Joey Votto, one of the, I would say, 3 best players in baseball. Marlins at the Cubs. The Marlins, they look like to me they're going to have to be sellers. They lose to the Cubs 4-2. Mahomes gets the win. He's 8-6. Mark Burley takes the loss. He's 9-9. Marmol gets his 11th save of the year. Alfonso Soriano hits his 18th homer of the year for the Cubs. Cubs 4, Marlins 2. Marlins 44-48, and at some point you got to pull the plug. Will the Marlins be sellers at the trade deadline? I think the answer has to be yes. The Cubs, you know, are going to be sellers at the trade deadline. They go up to 38-53 after that win. Certainly Matt Garza has been mentioned as a possible guy who could be traded, and he also has a history with Tampa in the AL East where he's been a pretty good pitcher. The problem with Garza is sometimes he's unbelievably good and other times he's unbelievably bad, but he probably will be moved by the Cubs at the trade deadline. The other game in the National League, Edinson Volquez throws a one-hitter against the Astros. Padres 1, Astros nothing. And if you saw the replay, the one-hitter was an infield single where it bounced off. Volquez, a righty, was following through. And there was a infield ground ball just to his right, and he got his glove on it, but he could not catch it. And as a result of that, and that was early in the game. It was in the fourth inning, but that's the only hit that Volquez gave up. Padres 1, Astros nothing, neither of them going anywhere. They're sellers at the trade deadline. Padres 39-55. The Astros 34-59. Quickly a look at the standings. The Yankees AL East 57-35. They have a 9-game lead over Baltimore, 9.5 over Tampa, 10 over Boston. Toronto's starting to drop out of it. If you're under 500 in the AL East, you've got big problems. The White Sox clinging to a 1.5-game lead over the Tigers. White Sox 15-41, Tigers game and a half back. Cleveland 3 back, Kansas City and Minnesota way out of it. Texas 55-36, have a 6-game lead over the Los Angeles Angels. Oakland in the mix, surprisingly, certainly to me. They're 8 games out. Seattle done already at 40-54 in the National League. Washington, with all that pitching talent and all that young talent, 53-37. They have a 3.5-game lead over Atlanta. The Mets trying to stay relevant, 7 games out, 47-45. I don't think Miami or the Phillies, even though the Phillies have all their players back now, they're 41-52. 13.5 games out of the division. In the Central, Cincinnati with a 0.5-game lead over the surprising Pittsburgh Pirates. Cincinnati 52-40. The Pirates 51-40. St. Louis 2 games over 500. Milwaukee 3 games under, trying to stay in the mix. Chicago and Houston long out of it. In the West, San Francisco is gone by the slumping Dodgers, although the Dodgers do have Matt Kemp back now. San Francisco 51-41. 2.5 game lead over Los Angeles. 7-game lead over Arizona, trying to cling to relevancy. San Diego and Colorado way out of it in the NL West. So your division leaders, the Yankees, the White Sox, the Rangers, the Nationals, Cincinnati just a 0.5-game over the Pirates, and the San Francisco Giants as we head to the end of July. Sports on TV today. Right now, the second round of the British Open on ESPN, showing, of course, coverage of the third and fourth round all through the weekend. And again, Brant Snedeker, with a dominating performance today, still has the lead in the second round, but a lot of people still on the course at the British Open. Major League Baseball today, your national coverage. It's regional, San Francisco at Philadelphia or Atlanta at Washington, both of those tonight, MLB Network, 7 o'clock Eastern. Of course, Washington, you get the complete package with Bryce Harper, etc. You know, the big talk in Washington now is with Steven Strasburg and his innings. We've talked about this before. They shouldn't have let him start the season if they were going to limit him to 160 innings, but maybe they didn't think they were going to be in first place or at least in the running for a playoff spot. At this point, they're legit, 53-37. They have a very good shot to win their division, if not to make a wild card. So they're going to have to do something with Strasburg, either pitch him a little more or maybe only pitch him 5 innings to start. Plus, he's a competitor, so that's going to be hard to do. So it's Giants at Philadelphia to play the Phillies, Atlanta in Washington to play the Nationals, MLB Network, 7 o'clock Eastern. Also, if you get WGN, the Chicago station, but it's a nationwide station, 8:05 tonight, the Cubs at St. Louis to play the Cardinals. Again, the Cubs are going to be sellers. The Cardinals are trying to make a run. The Chris Carpenter surgery hurts them, obviously, and they're only two games over 500. That's 8 o'clock on WGN. It's a Chicago station, but it's national in scope. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.